Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode. Today's coffee conversation is on shadow work. I'm joined here with Chantel, and today we're really going to be diving in all things shadow work. And, you know, I feel like shadow work has like a bad rap, but also is like the most powerful thing ever. So we're really going to get into what shadow work really is, understanding that there's a whole other layer to this like law of attraction that, and shadow work is an important piece of that. What it means to get curious about our triggers, why facing our triggers can be so healing, and how we actually do the shadow work. So we're going to be covering all of that and more. We're going to be throwing in some personal stories. And so really great to have you all listening in. And so we're going to dive right in. So shadow work can be a heavy topic, and really it's those pieces of ourselves that we don't want to look at. It's the stuff that we have shoved down, pushed down, and it's kind of like emotional baggage that we've buried, and it makes us energetically heavy, and that we're pulling along these energetic attachments from our past history that really doesn't serve us. It keeps us in a state of fear. It holds on to limiting beliefs, and it's just this heavy energy. And so this is why we want to do the shadow work. And I'm going to invite Chantel to give kind of her definition, tie it into Carl Jung and like how he's coined it. And then we'll take it from there.
So our shadow self is the unconscious part of ourselves that we are suppressing, all like the trauma, the ugliness within us, I want to say. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because really it's just the unhealed version of ourselves, but it's the side of us that shows up that we don't like, you know? So it's not it's the unpleasant part of ourselves. But I think a lot of people do get, there's a fear base when you talk about shadow work. And I think it's because people are, one, they don't want to look at the pain that it creates and the emotions that it releases and rises to the surface. But because we spend the majority of our life ignoring that side of who we are. And when it starts to show up, there's guilt and fear and all these emotions that come with it. So I think when we're talking about shadow self and bringing the light to it, that's really what we're doing, is it's the universal law of polarity. When we're dealing with the light and the dark, the good and the bad, you can't have one without the other. So we just have to find the balance within ourselves to be the light that is shining into the dark side of ourselves, so that can be healed. So we can show up as the best version of ourselves in whatever situation that we're dealing with. And when we're feeling triggered, that we can have that self-awareness instead of reverting back into our subconscious ways of acting and responding to those trigger moments.
Right. I think there's a huge piece of it that we have to understand, that we're on autopilot. Like letting the subconscious brain just act with the world, like 90 to 95% of the time. We're cultivating that 5% from the 5% to the 10%, like that 5%, that's what we have to actually cultivate. And yes, most of the time we are just on autopilot, and everything from autopilot is just going to bring up past interactions. It's past the way we do things. Right. So if the way you do things is like, there's the trigger and this is your natural response to it, that all is just ingrained until we become consciously aware of going, wait, hold up. Why do I get mad at this person when they talk to me like that? What part of it inside of me is actually triggering from my childhood? from the way my father talked to me, from the way teachers talked to me, from whatever it may be, and going, I'm not getting angry at him because of the words he's saying to me in this current situation. I'm getting angry at him because it reminds me of the condescending way my father talked to me as a child.
Exactly.
Right. And so when we can do that, we can bring it into understanding like, wow, I'm losing my state of peace and serenity because I'm giving my power to actually my past. It has nothing to do with this person in the present. And so it's about taking emotional responsibility. And when we have emotional responsibility and going and having this radical sense of responsibility over your own emotions, then whatever people say to you, you can go, I accept that or I reject it. Mm-hmm. And so when someone says something negative to you or in a way that you don't like, you can go like, it has nothing to do with them. Like I can have my emotional boundaries. I don't have to get attached to what they're saying. I don't need to have a triggered response. Why? Because you could recognize this is from my shadow self. This is my trigger.
Yeah. And I think with, especially with shadow work, it's bringing accountability to self, like you're saying, emotional responsibility is so important. And I just feel that we are at this time in life, in the world, where it is time for people to become accountable to their own healing and to be able to look at their past and bring that in and say, okay, that is why I'm being triggered. As you're saying, there's so many ways of healing out there, so many different modalities to tap into that didn't exist, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And now we have this huge, like, plethora of opportunities to go out from talk therapy and having counseling and Reiki and coaching and all these different modalities that we can tune into, meditation and self-work, and to ignore it at this point is really just leaning into the shadow self. And I love that there's so many people that are coming forward and they're interested in wanting to do the healing work for ourselves now, because it's bringing out the parts of ourself that are so, like, it's our primal energy. It's our primal, like, personality, right? And we're bringing that to the light to say, okay, this is what I need to release and heal, and this is what I want to become. And when we can find that balance, it just makes it to where the triggers then are going to be reduced. And then that way, like you're saying, being able to connect this to that, and suddenly that connection is going to bring the awareness to release that cord, that attachment, that emotional pain.
Yeah. And it's a work in progress. It's always,
always.
And I think that's a really clear, like, reminder to everyone. Mm-hmm. We're all like, especially if you're in Reiki Cafe, you've been brought here for a reason. You're on your healing path. You're willing to look at the layers of yourself in some capacity because you're listening to this conversation. So one, good for you. You've stepped onto the path of like, okay, I'm willing to actually learn about this and see how I can bring it back into my own life. So like, even though like I might have been doing this for the last 10 years, shadow work, there's still layers of myself that I may be suppressing and not wanting to look at, right? So like, for example, when I'm being really authentic with myself and going, why is it that I need to control what my daughter does? Or like, usually mine has something to do with control, right? And I think it has to do with when I was a child, having other people always make decisions for me and having to strive for perfection all the time, because that was the only way I was going to get attention, you know? So it's those understanding, like, everything doesn't need to be perfect. Things can be messy. Things can be messy and I can be at peace. And those two can go hand in hand. And that seems like a oxymoron, right? So I think it's like everyone's stuff is unique, and there's typically some real common core limiting beliefs. And when we can understand what those core limiting beliefs are, like, for example, I'm a burden to others, or I'm unlovable, or like everything that I do or create isn't good enough, or I'm going to always be in the shadow of a sibling or a parent. Like, there's these common ones. And then when we can start looking at, why do I believe that? How can we start shaking the foundation? It's almost like activating an earthquake. And what we're doing is shaking the foundation to bring things forward into our awareness. We got to shift it out of in the foundation of ourselves so that we can even see it. And so just getting curious of going, why do I react to this way? That's always, you know, step one. Why am I reactive? Period. Why am I reactive? And that's a huge leap, just doing that part. Like, for example, my first husband, he has no emotional intelligence capacity to even think about that. So, like, for example, I put in a tax extension. I told him, yep, you're claiming our son this year. Like, no worries. Like, it's fine. And then he blew up at me over a phone call going, you claimed our son. It's going to mess up taxes. I've got an appointment with the IRS in the morning. We're going to get you and blah, 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 blah. And I'm right. Like, he just freaked out when I'd already said, like, you've got it. Like, I'm not filing this. I'm like, yo, buddy, take a deep breath. I filed an extension. I haven't even done my taxes. How could I claim them if I haven't done my taxes? Right.
But it shuts off his ability to hear you.
Right.
You know, because that is what the shadow self does too. And so it's really having the patience with ourself, right? To do that. But what happens is when we're being triggered, it's like all our senses are thrown out the window. We can't hear, we don't see, we're not feeling correctly. All of our emotions are disarrayed. And that is like a great example of what a shadow version of ourselves shows up as, you know, aggressive, manipulating.
All of the things. And,
all of it.
You know, maybe 10 years ago, I would have been like super defensive and angry about it. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like a lot of a you problem.
Yeah. And it is so much, a lot of it too, is going back to like with our childhood or even, you know, our 20s or 30s, whatever version of ourselves we're looking at. But it is a lot of expectations from others that is creating our limiting beliefs and the way we look at ourselves. And when we really dive in, we really don't feel that that way about ourselves, but we've had this cultivating reaction or the way people expect and respond to us that we adapt and we adopt from others. And it's really unfair, but it's so culturally and it, from our family and everything that it happens and develops from. And when, like for me, my mom is the queen of guilt trips. Okay. Maybe not so much now, but growing up, the queen of guilt trips. So when I feel like there's any level of guilt, I know it stems from that, but it's like, am I doing this right? Am I not? You know, whatever it is. And it's heavy on the heart. And it took me a long time to be like, no, I'm not being trapped in that anymore. Like feeling that guilt because it can be so debilitating and, she doesn't even know she does it. And that's the crazy part. A lot of times because it's so, such an unconscious reaction, a lot of people don't even know. It's not intentional, but that's just the personality that they have. But as you're doing your healing work, a lot of times it does respond, like others will respond to you in their own healing work because you're no longer being triggered by them.
Right. Yeah.
And then they go, yeah.
It's all a lesson. You know, I think that when we can come from a higher perspective going, yep, here's the guy in my life who's going to be triggered and have this giant blow up response. And for you to go like, I am in this moment, I have a choice. I can take 5 breaths and respond in my centered, healed way, or I can respond in old patterns. Mm-hmm. And that's like the first step of going, I have a choice. There's always a choice. Right. And that's like a very like in the beginning of doing our healing work, this is how we know when we go, when we can see the reaction and going, I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with your guilt trip or your problems. Like that's all you. I'm going to be responsible for my own emotions and I'm going to allow this blow up, this whatever it is, this possibility to be triggered to be a lesson. I'm going like, I have the opportunity to look deeper in myself if I am getting emotionally triggered, right?
Yeah, it's standing in the observer position, being the witness of what others are feeling and expressing, how they're expressing themselves. And we are ultimately responsible for our own, like the way we respond. So if we choose to respond and like get into an argument or whatever it is, it's because we are allowing ourselves to go there. It's not because somebody has forced us to start yelling, to do all that. That's all within ourselves. And that was a big lesson when it was the whole mirror effect coming forward for me. I was like, no, because we want to blame. We want to send it outside of ourselves and not be accountable for it. And when I started learning that, that really was a huge lesson in my life. And so now I'm in that position, but it took so many years to say, this is my trigger, this is my responsibility, and to be accountable for my own reaction. And so if that, for me with people, just like expressing that when I see it, even like in my partnership, you know, my relationship, and I can be like, no, that's on you. And literally I can walk away. Like, I'm good. You want to feel like that? You want to be mad? Go be mad. Go fight with yourself. And it like squashes it out for the most part, you know, because you can't just sit and argue with yourself, but you can stew in those emotions. Right. And that's really what we've been taught to do, is just sit in our emotions and, you know, we don't need to.
And to be a victim, right?
And to be a victim. Yeah.
Right. It always comes back to this. Like, I have an acquaintance. We were developing a friendship, but she really felt that her triggers were my responsibility to tiptoe around. And I was like, no, that's not the kind of relationship I'm available for. This is all in your head. This is mindset work that you need to heal. Mm-hmm. And she's married to her victimhood and doesn't think that it's her responsibility. It's everyone else's responsibility to know what that she's been traumatized, and everyone should tiptoe around her stuff. And I'm like, no, that's not my responsibility. And if that's the way this relationship needs to exist, I don't need this relationship in my life.
Yeah. And that is actually really looking at the archetypes, the labels, like being the victim, self-sabotaging, you know, the wounded child, and the prostitute. And I find it so interesting because when I talk about archetypes and people get so triggered by the label of that, and I'm like, when you look at it, really break it down. What is it? The prostitute is, how are you giving away your energy? The saboteur is, how are you blocking yourself? The victim is, how are you holding on to your old stories? And it's the why me, you know, mentality. And then the wounded child is your inner child needing to be healed. And when we can take the labels off and just really look at the energetic part of it, it's so much easier to work with. You know, if we have to soften it up a little bit and not be the victim, because we do play a lot of people, and me included as a younger version myself, it's easy to be the victim, because then you're receiving attention that you didn't receive probably as a kid or, you know, growing up or whatever. And suddenly you're getting that somehow, some way. It's that negative reinforcement. If we're not getting a positive reinforcement, we're receiving negative reinforcement. And a lot of times that's what people are seeking. It's just, I need attention. I need to feel loved. I need to feel seen and heard. And I'm going to get it some way, somehow. And if that's in an argument, I'm receiving it. You know, if it's me going out and destroying my life on some level, that's me receiving the attention that I need. And so healing through that and recognizing that we can be seen through having a conversation that is balanced and that can be seen and heard in a very productive way is equally as energetically receiving as it is negative. If you're in that positive mindset, if we're in a negative mindset, it's really hard to receive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, take a breath. I think it's like always energy. The first step of energetic healing is by bringing in the awareness, by going, how am I playing into these archetypes? How am I playing into the victim? How am I playing into the self-sabotager? How am I playing into the prostitute? Like, I just need energy, right? Or I'm just giving my energy away. And so when we can start recognizing which roles we're playing, we have more of availability to make a new choice. And mm-hmm. I think once, and why I love this so much is because it's all comes down to your identity. Once again, how do you identify yourself? And when you say like, I am a healed and self-aware individual, I am that. I'm a healed, self-aware individual. Like that's who I am. Then you're willing to take the self-responsibility to look at your own stuff. But if you say I'm a victim or everyone's out to get me or I'm unworthy of love or whatever it may be, then you're going to play a completely different story out in your life.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be verbal. It's our thoughts, because our thoughts attract that energy to us. It's how we behave. It's our body language. It's the way the tone of our voice comes out. So we don't even have to say, I'm the victim. You just live a victimized life. And then that will create experiences in your life that's going to let you see, it's going to support your identity. You're the victim. And here's going to be some experiences for you to say, I am the victim. See, I feel it. It's coming and I'm experiencing it. But when you start to alchemize it, to change it and heal that version of it, suddenly these experiences will start coming in to empower you not to be the victim anymore.
Right.
And that's how we can change our experiences in our life. But it starts with us in our mindset, how we think, feel, and act within ourselves. And when we can do that, that's when different experiences will come. But you have to be open and aware and ready to receive them, to yes. recognize that they're even happening. Right. But if you were like in blind, we have blinders on and we're in that victim state or whatever state we're in, and we're not even open to receive something new, then we miss the opportunities to grow in that.
Right. And so it's very much like if you are pointing at people going, it's your fault, you're doing this, whatever it is, if you're pointing outwards, that first you stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing the blame game and start pointing at yourself. How am I responsible for this? What can I do in my life to heal my energy from within to have a better outwardly exterior experience? Right. So I think that is always like, that's the start. Like if we're playing the blame game and pointing fingers at everyone else, you have made yourself into the victim and it's time to go, how am I responsible for this situation I am in? How am I responsible for my self-talk? How am I responsible for my inner work and what baggage I've been carrying around that I haven't been willing to look at? Once you do mm-hmm. that work, then oftentimes what happens is people, they're so driven and almost addicted to the triggers. They like the drama. They're like set up to just feed off of it, right? So if all of a sudden you're not engaging in it anymore, going, well, that sounds like you've had a bad day. Why don't you take that outside? Or, you know, like I'm going to find myself in a different space because you clearly aren't ready to have a healthy conversation. You know, whatever yeah. it may be, you're more likely to put in healthy boundaries to protect your energy once you've been healed. And so you'll find those people are no longer getting satisfied out of trying to trigger you because you're not responding anymore. You know, and that was like a very evolutionary process with my ex-husband, right? So he might try to trigger me now. And I'm just like, sounds like that's something you need to talk to your counselor about. that's my response these days.
You know, I'll just reflect the trigger back to him, deflect yeah. it. You're just like, there you go.
Exactly. And so that's what it feels like. And, you know, I remember it's like being on a turntable and you are spinning. And you are getting dizzy and you're like, everything is being thrown at me and I can't understand what's going on because I'm spinning so fast. And when you decide to get off the freaking turntable, take a deep breath and go and realize what's happening, that person over there who's throwing all the triggers, their sole assignment is to trigger you so that you look at your stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when you yeah. see them as your teacher, things change. I tell people are surprised by this. I'll tell people my first husband, that, you know, the narcissistic, abusive, borderline personality, he is my best teacher. He has always been my best teacher. It's not my coaching teacher. It's not my mentors. It's not, no, it's the guy in my life who tried his very best to wake me up in his own suffering. He signed up for this. So now I can have compassion for him. Like, wow, you chose a soul assignment that was really difficult. Your job was to be the freaking asshole to everyone, to everyone in your life. You have no friends, you have no family because you've literally made everyone create boundaries. And yeah. So he's doing his job to the very best of his ability. And so I applaud him for that. He's taught my son boundaries. He's taught me boundaries. And I couldn't. So once we change the perspective, so yeah, he's going to still be in his role. And I believe in the possibility of healing. I believe in the possibility of change. My son, a year ago, basically told him, like, if you want me to live with you, you need to get a family counselor. Because my son has boundaries and my ex is invested in the relationship, he's had a counselor now for over 3 years.
And is there a change happening for him? Is he on any healing pattern? Or like,
I see it. It's slow, but like, this is the first time he's had a regular job. He's financially stable. I didn't think that was ever possible. You know, there, when something comes up and I say, it sounds like that you need to talk to your counselor about it. He's like, he doesn't fight me. He goes and talks to the counselor about it. Like, I say that's progress.
That is progress.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's awesome though.
I have a much better relationship with him now than I ever have because I'm not triggered. He knows mm-hmm. he can't consume my emotional energy. I'm not available.
Yeah.
I'm not emotionally available to give that way. And so he stopped doing it. My son also not emotionally available to give that way. So he stopped doing it. He still might be in his personality disorder of trying to seek out and be that emotional vampire. But as soon as the boundaries came up, the behavior stops, right?
And, you know, and yeah, absolutely. And I've had people that have asked me like, okay, if you're living, you know, you have your partners, your kids and everything. And how are you supposed to make that change in your house? Right? Like you have people that are making messes, you're cleaning and they're making messes right behind you, that kind of thing, And I understand that it's not an easy, like we're making it sound all easy and it's not because it's so much work that we have to do in ourselves and have the patience for others to grow in their own right, in their own timing. And so, you know, like for me, if I go around and I'm cleaning and all I can do is ask, like, can we keep the bathroom clean? Can we keep the, you know, whatever the laundry put in the laundry basket? And I realize if I'm the one who's going around and having to do it, that's because it doesn't bother them, but it bothers me. So I, you know, tend to do a lot more for myself. So I keep my own like sense of sanity of not having a messy house or whatever, but it's because I'm growing in myself and allowing him to grow in his. So then he starts seeing, oh, okay, my laundry is no longer on the floor. And where is it at? Oh, it's in my laundry basket. Now I got to go search, you know? So it's like, he's being trained without being trained. And I don't know if training is like the right way to say it, but it's kind of how it is. We're all in training. We're all learning how to be a better human, you know, right? To respect other people's boundaries and stuff and to recognize that what doesn't bother them but bothers me is my trigger. And so I just have to, within myself, look at why I am feeling that way, what has caused it in my life, and what my cycle, my pattern is, and why do I keep repeating it? And when we can recognize that, that's where the awareness of self comes in. Why do I keep repeating that same pattern and having the same argument with multiple people? Because it's not always just one person that you're having it with. If you look at your pattern, it's a pattern you have with multiple people and in multiple areas of your life. So have that awareness. So then that way you're healing through all versions of yourself.
Right. Right. And I think when we can be really honest about ourselves, like I might have some control tendencies, right? Like that's part of my shadow work. When we can start self-reflecting of going, this is where I'm at. And then if you have a partner, if you have people in your life that are wanting to be emotionally conscious, if they have emotional intelligence, hopefully people in your life have emotional intelligence, then you can have a conversation of, hey, I got triggered yesterday when you did this, and I can recognize that this is where it came from in my past, and I just want to clear the air and talk to you about it. How can we move forward so that I'm working on myself so the trigger isn't there? And how can you be respectful of the trigger, knowing that if I get triggered, it's not your fault?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's having those conscious conversations that are key to healthy relationships.
And yeah, so, it's very important to it.
Right? And so if we're not having the healthy relationships, one, we need to ask ourselves, why are we not having healthy relationships? How can we come to a place of having healthy relationships? But if we haven't done our shadow work first of exploring, why is this bothering me? Whatever it is, why am I getting bothered by this? We can't even take this. We're not taking the time to take the self-responsibility before we have the conversation. We have to go and go, this is where I'm getting triggered. Now, if it's very much like you have energy vampires in your life, it's very much like you need to get clear on your own solar plexus. I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of respect. I'm worthy of my boundaries, right? When we can go to that place, then it's a lot easier to go, here's the energetic vampire. And the answer is no. The answer is on repeat. No, I'm not available for that. No, I'm not available for that. No, I'm not available for that. I'm not available to have this conversation if you're not going to keep your tone at a calm level. Like, it's showing up and saying what your boundaries are. And most often it's the people pleasers. Why are we people pleasing? Mm-hmm. let's think about that for a second. Why are we people pleasing? Because you don't feel valid and worthy of inherent love, that you deserve love because you were born, because you are here on this earth now. You are valid. Your human right should be innate love, right? That's mm-hmm. what it should be. And when it's off from that point, we start people pleasing. We start trying to serve everyone in a way of hopefully getting their attention, their approval, and their love. And so
and sometimes, it comes from even as a child, like getting in trouble.
Right.
So you feel like you don't have that voice because you know, you want to people please because you're trying to calm down or, you know, reduce the energy in the room or the argument. You're trying to avoid and deflect it. And so when we can see, it's like you have the umbrella of it and go deeper and deeper and deeper till you get to that root cause. And when you get to that root cause and you see it, you can say, okay, this happened, but now I'm not there anymore. Mm-hmm. That happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago, however long it was. And because it's not a current situation, we can heal and release that. And when you're in the phase of doing all of this work, it can be as easy as just recognizing it and letting it go. Right. But it's knowing it, it's knowing why it's there, where it came from, what the root cause is, and then having some form of healing with the person. Either you go and have that conversation or you're just having it with yourself, which is my big belief in myself, is I don't go and have big conversations like with those I want to heal with. I do energetic work with myself so that because it doesn't mean they're going to give me the response that I'm looking for. Right. So we set up our own expectations too, when we want to have these conversations, thinking we're going to be seen and heard. But if they haven't done their work, they're not going to hear you and see you anyway. So it's kind of like, you know, this double-edged sword. So really doing the work within yourself is always going to have this ripple effect in your own world. And so for me, I always feel like start here, start at home, start at the base, and then let that go out into your world and see how it can change. Without having these deep, dragged out conversations or arguments or, you know, feeling like you can't, you know, you have to have the silent treatment for so long. We do all of these different things in a way just to protect ourselves, but it just prolongs the healing that eventually will happen, you know, because at some point we're going to heal these things, whether you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old.
Or in another lifetime.
Or in another lifetime. We're going to bring it into another lifetime. So I really think this awareness is coming back to now. And if you're hearing this conversation, this is an invitation for you to start doing this work with yourself, to really start tuning in, having that self-awareness and bringing in that healing so that your life can be more calm, more relaxed, more balanced, more in harmony with your soul purpose and your energetic being to say, I am in this human experience, but it doesn't always have to be traumatic and, you know, like explosive and whatever the energy is that you're dealing with. Because anger in a lot of ways is the main, one of the main triggering aspects. You know, it's not like we're triggered and we just sink off into the distance. It's sometimes we blow up. And that is how a lot of people like to be seen. It's like cyberbullying. You know, there's so many people on that just want to be so negative. And it's like, why do you feel like you need to come on somebody's platform and just be so negative? Well, because we have a lot of healing in our society to do.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is a great invitation for people to hear and want to get on board with.
Right. And so if you're the one who's receiving that, the cyber bullying or the hate mail or whatever it is, it's to look at them going, wow, their life must be really sad if they're going to come and try and attack a light worker. I have so much compassion for them and going, you know, and once again, it's that mindset of going,
it is.
They have so much healing work left to do. I wish them so many blessings that they can find a path. Right.
I had an experience yesterday with somebody, not against me, but it was on somebody else's platform. And I don't even know why I felt that I wanted to even respond, but I did. And so in the end, I said, I want to offer you a free distance session. I said, there's so much pain in your comments. Like, let me help you. He denied it, but I was like, it's okay. I said, you can always DM me. And I just thought, you know what? If we can just offer healing one person at a time to let that light shine through it, you know, but he didn't take me up on it.
I think that's why I love Ho'oponopono so much, because when I can just go to this place of like feeling the emotion, I think this is why I really do love Ho'oponopono so much. We're human. We are going to have some type of emotional energy happening.
Yep.
When things happen in our world, whether we see cyberbullying, whether it's a spouse in our life or our children or, you know, whatever it may be, we're going to have emotional responses. And whether we recognize them are healthy or unhealthy, it doesn't matter. But if we feel those emotions that are heavy, think of it that way. Is this heavy or light? If you're feeling it heavy, there's something within you that is creating that. It's inside of you, that heaviness. And so Ho'opono is like the way to clean it. I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. It's all inward. What emotion is this? If this is anger arising with me, tell yourself, tell that emotion, I love you. I see you, right? Like, I recognize that this is here. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Like, when we do this to our own emotional energy, we're clearing it out.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, how can we continue to clean ourselves to become a cleaner vessel so that when the trigger shows up, it's like, oh, I remember that used to really bother me. And now it might trigger me a little bit. Like, I can still recognize it, but it's not where I want to, you know, go like throw hands. So it's a process. And what are the tools that are going to work for you? You know, it can be finding a coach, finding a therapist, doing shamanic Reiki work. Like, from a shamanic Reiki point of view, it's recognizing each of those triggers are a cord to something. They're an energetic cord to the past, to places, to objects, to whatever it may be. And because we have an energetic attachment to it, it's still draining our energy. It's still pulling us into that energy of whatever it was. And how can we unhook those and let them go? This is like the Buddhist mindset of release attachment. How can we become an enlightened Buddha self? We let go of expectations. We let go of attachments. We let go of stories, right?
Yeah.
And those go hand in hand. Whether you want to look at it from a Buddhist point of view or you want to look at it from a shamanic Reiki point of view, it still has everything to do with attachments and how do we let them go? If I'm not attached to the outcome, how would I feel? If I'm not attached to the past, how would I feel? And this is why we can now bring the conversation to law of attraction. If we just have that fake positivity going on, the fake smile, the suppressed emotions. We're pushing everything down so that we don't feel anything and we just speak positive things doesn't mean we're going to have a positive attraction back to us. Because if your body and your energy is still heavy and all of those attachments, all of those stories, you're going to get more of the same. And so a lot of people will try quote unquote law of attraction and going, I'm staying positive. I'm talking positive. I'm doing my vision board. I'm, you know, all of the things positive, positive, positive. And we've bypassed. This is like that toxic positivity bypassing that we do. Of going, well, I'm not going to actually look at the fact that like I was raped or I was molested or my parents told me that I was a piece of shit when I was five or whatever it may be. And how is that affecting my life when I just try to put on my happy face and I mask up? The mask, it can't attract positive things.
It can't. I'm actually seeing the vision of like a duckling, like on the top of the water and the feet underneath are just spinning so fast. That is the shadow work. That is what needs to be healed. And we can be on the surface looking all great and have feeling like projecting this version of ourselves that's happy and, you know, being able to connect with everything. But underneath, we have all these emotions and turmoil and memories that are stuck in our like self, the fibers of who we are. And as we start to heal that, that is what's going to release it. So that way, if you have had, you know, sexual trauma, if you have had abuse in your life and all these experiences that are still controlling you and projecting your life. That's hitting my throat right there. That it is something that we can heal and work through, right? And so for me, it's really looking at all the things in life, all of our traumas, and just kind of going through them all and working, even if you're doing the Ho'oponopono, if you are journaling on it, if you are writing and doing fire ceremonies or giving it to the earth, whatever that you're doing, there is something that is allowing you to look at it, to put it on paper, put it out there somehow, some way, and then release it. And when we do that, that is the process. And that is why like wearing the mask doesn't work if you're trying to manifest and bring in new experiences, because the universe sees what's underneath the water.
Yeah.
And the frequencies understand what's going on within and not what we're putting outward. Because that's just the external, the facade that we put out that we're all good. But inside, you can't lie. You can't lie to yourself when you're laying in bed and all the thoughts are happening and the emotions are happening. So it's like you can experience a more like a happier existence by doing the work, or you continue to live that same life. And eventually it does, it catches up to us. It's exhausting.
It is.
It's exhausting being in pain.
And in victimhood.
Yeah.
Like it's exhausting to constantly make all of your inner turmoil and unrest everyone else's problems. And when we can go, this is mine. And what does this relate to? If I'm going to have an I am statement, how are we playing into that and going, if I want to be a healthy, self-aware individual, if that's the goal, healthy, self-aware individual, healthy in my body, healthy in my mind, healthy in my spirit, self-aware, willing to look at my own stuff. How do we get there? Right. And so there's so many ways. And like, for example, I love inner child work. I think it can be so powerful because our inner child often is the one who literally holds the bag of all of our limiting beliefs, because it's what she was told or he was told when you were younger, right? And so literally your inner child will be like, remember this one? Remember this one? Remember this one? And she is just pulling out of the bag all of your stuff that you are still playing out today. And so when we can come to a place of I'm worthy to have fun, I'm worthy of laughter, I'm worthy of ease in my life, and you allow yourself to embody your inner child, to give her what she missed out on. Like your adult self healing your inner child, younger version of you, is a way to go, okay, well, here's the one that says that you're ugly. And then your inner child, you get to tell your inner child, you're beautiful just the way you are. And look how smart you are. And look how creative you are. And you're blessing your inner child. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be bringing a lot of these pieces into our upcoming retreat here in Bozeman, Montana in June. Like, not only are we going to bring in a lot of fun and play, like, I keep thinking, I'm like, oh, retreats, there's so much work to do. And I'm like, but what would I want in a retreat? I want to go have fun at the lake. I want to go have fun and be playing with tarot cards. I want to have like a sleepover type feel. I want to have inner child work where I can finger play with chocolate freaking pudding. I want like all these things, right? Like, and it's being able to come to a place of I'm worthy to have fun. And so much of our society says you have to be productive. You have to do the hard work. Like, you're not valuable as a human unless you can produce something. And going, what if so much of our victimhood, so much of our stories, so much of our attachments are wrapped up in those societal cultural conditions, that what if we spent 5 days saying, fuck it, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to play. I'm going to look at my shadow, but I'm going to do it in a way that is going to be integrative and really come to a place of fun and playfulness and exploring and getting curious rather than digging up my past, right? Like, there's a difference between going to a talk therapist who wants to spend 5 years trudging through your inner childhood trauma and wounds and identifying how your inner child needs the healing and love on her. And let her play and let her be her unique self and honor her for who she is. And then in that place, being able to become self-aware of when she is sad, when she is hurt, when she's angry. And moving from that space, we can heal so much. And I think that's why I'm excited about this retreat, because we're going to be bringing in these pieces that are going to really allow us to do shadow work in a very, I feel like it's like a wave, right? Like, it's going to be gentle. We'll have those white waters at some point, possibly, but then you're going to be caught on the other end of it. You're going to have the support that you need from Chantel, from myself, from Izzy, and being able to be held and then integrated into that new energy of who you are with breath work, with soul speak with Izzy. So it's like, we want to be able to help you identify where those energetic cords are, where those stories are, where those soul fragments have been lost over the years, and then reclaim your power. And in that reclaiming your power, being able to learn how to brighten your luminous energy field and how to know how to maintain it through chakra spinning. So there's going to be so many elements that feel like, oh, that sounds like a lot of like, quote unquote, work. And it's going to be so much matched with like, no, we're going to go have fun and play at the hot springs. No, we're going to go.
Yeah, we're going to go have picnics. We're going to be hiking. We're going to have lots of outdoor activities. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We get to go be playful. And that's, you know, in the mountains of Montana. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm really excited. And I'm not one, like, if you guys know me well enough, like, I haven't done a retreat in like 5 years. And so this will be the first one. And we're doing it in such a unique way because I want it to be not stuck in a room for 5 days. I don't want that. I want to have the experience of going out in nature, of playing, of having great times, lots of laughter, and being able to bring that home of going, this is what I learned, and this is how I want to reinvent myself. I'm going, I am worthy of love. I'm worthy of my boundaries. I'm worthy of my playtime. And this is how I want to live out my life in a gentle, smoother, easier way.
Yes, yes. And I think it's an important way to be able to, like you're saying, integrate the hard work with the fun and play, because that's the balance. When we were talking at the very beginning, when you have polarity happening in our life, it's bringing in that balance. So it's go, let's do some deep dive within ourselves. And at the same time, we're going to balance that out with going and having fun and celebrating your life and celebrating who you are and the hard work that you're doing, and that you're taking time out of your life to go be you. And, you know, and if it's 5 days of just going and meeting new people that are like-minded, that have similar experiences as you have had, and to be able to sit in a sacred container in a circle and do drumming and do all of these playful things that are going to really integrate that higher version of yourself and let you sit with your inner child or your 20-year-old or your 30-year-old self and love on them, love on yourself, give thanks for your past, for bringing you into who you are today. Which is really that integration part, is to be thankful for all of the pieces of yourself, bringing in the soul fragments of yourself so that we can leave that experience and being really fulfilled as this whole being and moving forward in that light and in that way, and earthing and grounding and doing all the amazing things that Montana has to offer.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. So meeting us live. That's it. So Chantel, Isabel, and myself are going to be hosting this retreat. And then we're going to be bringing in some guest presenters. Why? Because I really love, like, there's certain practitioners in town that I can't bring online. Like, it doesn't work to bring them online. So I've got Alexandria, who does trance breath work. She had a podcast with us on Reiki Cafe Radio just a few weeks ago. So if you haven't checked it out, check that out. We're bringing in Jim McDonald for chakra dance. Why? Because I can't do that online either. It's like, that's way hard to do that online. But I've been experiencing his classes and they're phenomenal. It feels like freaking shamanic journey, and I'm traveling for every chakra, and it's really a beautiful experience. We'll have Reiki song bowls. We have another podcast that just came out on with an anonymous shamanic Reiki practitioner graduate talking about plant medicine, which we are going to be having available. So, you know, if you have questions, reach out directly to me. We'd love to have you. We have spots still available. If you have questions, feel free to reach out, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you this summer. Know that a lot of these pieces are also inside our Reiki Cafe University program. So if you're like, I want to do all these things, but I can't travel, Mark, you know, Soul Rising is going to start again in the fall. And we're going to be doing all of this as well, just over a 4-month program. So with that, thanks so much. I hope we got all of your shadow work questions answered. I hope it makes more sense now. I hope you've got some to-dos on your list to self-reflect, to do the inner personal work. If you need support, please reach out to Reiki Cafe. Our team here is all very well trained to support you on doing this work. So if you need one-on-one sessions, if you need support, feel free to reach out to us. And otherwise, thank you all so much for showing up, for listening, and for getting curious. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University, watch our videos on YouTube, or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.